Forgiveness. It's a topic that can seem so simple at first glance, but we know it really isn't, don't we? Sure, forgiveness can be easy when the offenses are small. It's fairly easy for me to forgive my toddler, Wyatt, when he drops a toy on my foot and I know that it was clearly an accident. It's fairly easy for me to forgive my husband for forgetting to move the clothes from the washer to the dryer, because the truth is, I am guilty of that more often than he is. It can be fairly easy to forgive someone when they cut me off in traffic because perhaps it was an accident or perhaps they were having a really bad day. But what about when it's the big stuff? Sure, forgiving the little things, the accidents, the mistakes, the missteps, the inconsequential things, that's a fairly simple thing to do. But forgiving the seemingly unforgivable stuff. When someone does you wrong, when someone steals from you, when someone who supposedly loves you seems to have betrayed you, when someone somehow, some way causes a deep and unbearable hurt and pain in your life that seems insurmountable, how do you forgive then? This week, our director of adult ministries, Warren Pattinson, sent me an article about an interesting perspective on forgiveness from the New York Times. So in the Eastern Orthodox Church, they recognize a day of forgiveness at the beginning of Lent each year. And so, unsurprisingly, Ukrainian Christians are finding themselves struggling to fully live into this annual liturgical practice this year. How can they even begin to think about forgiveness, given all the pain and the hurt and the fear and the loss that they find themselves going through? So what I love about our sermon series for Lent, Embracing the Uncertain, is that it tells us very clearly that these topics that we're wrestling with, they aren't easy. They are uncertain. These are topics that don't have quick fixes and don't have simple answers. They're the kinds of things that I can't just give you one Bible verse, one pamphlet, one little three-point sermon that's going to make it all instantly and perfectly clear. But what we do see through this series is that reflected in Scripture, we see that God is with us in these uncertainties, that God joins us in these struggles. And God gives us a way to journey through these uncertainties of life together. And so let's dive together into that uncertainty of forgiveness. Our scripture passage for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, if another member in the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, he came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their lord, all that had taken place. Then the lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he could pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. So this is such a deep and rich passage that gives us so much to wrestle with in the uncertainty of forgiveness. For starters, we have Peter who is coming to ask Jesus for some rules and some regulations and maybe even some loopholes when we're talking about forgiveness. So as McGray shares in his book, Embracing the Uncertain, in the Jewish code that both Peter and Jesus had grew up with, culturally, you only had to forgive a person three times. Three strikes and you are out. That person no longer deserves your forgiveness. And so here is oh so familiar Peter trying to be the star pupil of Jesus. But what if I, being the great and the wonderful person that I am, forgive them instead seven times? Since seven is over double our usual three, and seven is this special and this holy number and all. We see what Peter is trying to do, but that he's missing the entire point, right? And so Jesus sees that he is missing the entire point too. So in typical Jesus fashion, Jesus not only challenges him with this high standard, 77, or in some translations it says 70 times 7, but Jesus also responds with a parable. So we see in this parable there is a king and there is a servant with a large debt. And so scholars say this debt was absolutely astronomical, something no one man could ever pay back, much less a lowly servant. So, of course, this man begs and begs and begs for forgiveness, and the king grants it. And so then we see this same servant who goes to someone who owes him a very small debt. Just a blip in the midst of all that he had just been forgiven for. And he seizes this man by the throat and demands it. Yikes. So oftentimes when we see this parable and we see this passage and we talk about the principle of forgiveness, we get the idea that forgiveness means enabling bad behavior. That forgiveness is doing something like saying, "Well, it's okay you robbed my house and stole all my money and jewelry. It's fine that you were texting while driving and injured my family in a car accident. You may have betrayed our dear friendship of 30 years by what you did, but it's no big deal." And of course, we know that this type of attitude is just ridiculous and impossible, right? What we often miss in this discussion on forgiveness is what comes just before this passage. Such a helpful and a practical teaching from Jesus, a healthy model for how to engage in conflict. Matthew 18:15-17. "If another member of the church sins against you, go out and point the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, then you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the side of evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen, then tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen to even the church, then let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." So the context of this whole passage is from Peter is telling, Jesus telling us how we are to deal with those we are in conflict with. That's the whole context. And Jesus doesn't say forgive and forget. Jesus doesn't say just be their doormat. Jesus doesn't say let's enable bad behavior. Jesus reminds us how we are to practically and lovingly tackle these things by going to the person directly, then bringing in a third party if things can't be resolved, and going to the community if things can't be resolved from there. So when we remember that what Jesus is saying in this very same chapter, the same teaching, almost the same breath, is to engage with those that hurt us head on and provide them radical forgiveness, well, we get this better idea of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't. It isn't allowing people to hurt and harm us. It isn't a free pass to let people walk over us. It's changing our response to people who have hurt us. Just look again at this passage. The king was not in desperate need for the money that he was owed. It tells us he was still a king. He never said that it was okay that the servant took more money than he could give back. But what the king did was the king changed his response to the servant. He exchanged his vengeance, his anger, and all the time and energy that he was going to spend making him pay. He exchanged all that pain and that anguish and that mental energy for forgiveness. But the servant did not do that. The servant chose not to forgive, which means that he held fast to that response of anger to the one who did him wrong. What he owed was pennies on the dollar compared to what he had just been forgiven of. In the grand scheme of things, he did not need that money, and yet he held on to that vengeance. He held on to that anger. He spent all that time and that energy and that pain and that anguish to hold on to the grief and make him pay. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not enabling, but forgiveness is indeed changing your response to the one who hurt you. And so we see in this passage how important it is, how much Jesus stressed, yes, we are to forgive one another. We are to forgive those who hurt us. We are to change our response to the ones who have hurt us. But you may be wondering, how do I practically do this? Because even if we understand and know and believe that forgiveness is about us, that forgiveness is for our benefit, that forgiveness is about changing our response to the one that hurt us, it is still really hard. We can find so much sympathy with Peter, who is looking for the forgiveness loophole. So much sympathy with that servant who still wanted that offender to pay for what had been done to him. We still wonder how we could ever really, truly forgive and let that anger and let that grief go. Well, I have some practical good news for us today, friends. Forgiveness is a process. It's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. It's a journey of letting go, of releasing those anger and those grudges with God's help, however long it takes. John Wesley would call it sanctifying grace, that process of gradually growing to be more like Christ, gradually growing in that ability to forgive with God's help. When I was a young adult, I had an incident where someone betrayed me. It was a person who I thought cared about me, who I thought loved me, and yet that person hurt me so deeply. Their demeanor changed and their harm towards me kept growing and growing until the point where I had to walk away from that relationship. And for years, years, I could not forgive that person for what had happened. Over the years, my husband would tell me, you need to come to the place to where if you were to run into that person today, you could honestly say, I'm sorry for the way things ended between us. I knew that forgiveness would not mean enabling or condoning their bad behavior, and yet, for years, I could not do it. But over the years, I have prayed that I could grow into forgiveness towards this person. In fact, I remember that being my response to hearing McGray preach on this very topic and this very sermon at 2018 in Hyde Park when I worked there. And so through those prayers, through that commitment to forgiveness, I began to change my response to that person. My anger began to lessen. My grudge began to be released. And as I was writing this sermon, I realized I finally am at the place, almost 10 years later, I am finally at the place where I could say to them today, I am sorry about the way things ended between us. And it was only through a process. It was only with God's help. And so as you start to think about how you might start that process of forgiveness today, and whatever you're wrestling with, whatever persons or situations may have came to mind, I'd like to share an idea with you. It's a ritual shared with me by my friend and mentor, Pastor Sally Campbell Evans from Hyde Park United Methodist. She suggests physically writing down all those feelings, all those persons, all those situations that you hold on to that you need to forgive. And so as a beautiful ritual of letting go, taking those things you have written down and burning the pages, seeing that as a way of releasing that anger, those emotions, those grudges, and that grief, having it be destroyed and instead released towards God. I don't know what persons, what situations you hold in your heart that you need to begin the process of forgiving today. Maybe it's even that you need to seek forgiveness for yourself. But may you be faithful to begin that process. And may you know that God will be faithful to carry you through it. May you understand that your forgiveness, our forgiveness, all of it reflects the kingdom of God. May you know that changing your response by forgiving another person, that reflects the love of God to a world that desperately needs it. Will you close in prayer with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this Lenten journey that allows us to wrestle with life's uncertainties. We ask for your forgiveness in our lives today and ask that you may enable us and free us to forgive others in return. Amen. Whether you're in person or online, we thank you for joining with us in worship this morning. And so as we prepare to go from this place, hear the benediction. May you know that forgiveness is changing your response to another. So as we go from this place, may we seek to love, may we seek to forgive one another so that we may better reflect the kingdom of God in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.